It was started off before the council stuff with as chair of the school board of trustees.
Right, that's right.
We know already a few days ago that there's some cases been announced, some COVID case or a COVID case initially, I think.
That's right, but we're expecting more. I think we are. We're just waiting for the test to come back negative or positive. But it's inevitable, isn't it? We've been seeing across the country COVID cases throughout schools. And I was actually reading Fraser High School on their Facebook page yesterday. They've got 20 staff off for various reasons. Some who are waiting testing, close contacts, and also they're struggling because they're relief staff as well. So it's having a major impact, particularly on the urban schools in Hamilton and across the country. So Whangaroa, Raglan is no different from any other school, but I know that Louisa and Quentin and Hayley, our new deputy principal, have been working really hard prior to school actually starting, implementing the what ifs, what would happen if this happened at school. And, we've had 2 years to plan, and Louisa, in her wisdom with the pandemic planning, has been fantastic. And our staff are really well placed to deal with whatever comes.
So, based on already on Fraser, it seems likely that a lot of teachers at various times there'll be you won't have enough teachers, basically, will you?
Well, I think it's not only going to be the education industry, it will also be our hospitality,
it'll be
our retail. You know, as we've seen across the globe, the response to Omicron has been that it reaches that peak really quickly and then goes down. So our numbers are increasing across the country. So, it's inevitable that we here in Whangaroa will experience where, some of our restaurants that will probably have to shut. And so we will have to really support our community, our businesses and their staff, because I think it's going to be a real struggle for many over the coming weeks and the next month or two.
And so just back with the school, presumably then the principal and deputy principals have some kind of plan for when they run out of teachers?
Well,
is there a chance they might send kids home?
Yes, there is. And we're prepared for that because we've got, our online learning, capacity that's already there. So we're all geared up to go. And so we'll have to look at different scenarios, and it might be at some stage that we might have to close the school, but that will depend on what's happening, but I have all the confidence in Louisa and her team, and our teaching staff and our whānau as well, actually, and there's a lot of support out there for our whānau and our community. We've got our community response planning team. We've got some great community members and organisations ready to go to support our community.
So let's talk about that, because the response planning group, I forget the exact title, has met and I think highlighted that there will definitely be people in the community who need very specific support.
That's right. And, from the sort of studies that they've done, some of the modelling, that, 70% of people who get COVID and have to isolate, 70% of those people or whānau, our community members, will be able to comfortably isolate on their own without having to have a lot of support outside. They've got either family that can support them, neighbours, all of those sorts of things, and they're adequately supplied with food and medical, their medical needs.
Yeah.
20 to 25% of our population will need other support outside of that kai, which could be medical, addiction, all of those sorts of things. And then 5% of our community, it's anticipated, will need really robust support from medical to kai to checking up. So, we've geared up for that. And last week, was it last Tuesday, not the Tuesday just gone, but the Tuesday before, we had a hui with the response planning group, which was great. And then on Tuesday just gone, we'd coordinated an online hui with our Marae trustees and committees from across Whainganui. So Aramiro, Te Papa Tapu, Mo Tako Tako, Pui Hākena, and we didn't include Tama Inupō actually, so we'll need to do that. So that was great to collaborate with our whānau, and we're having another planning hui on Tuesday coming, and what that will look like. So, you know, we're putting things in place. The community already has things in place, which I'm really heartened by, but I think we're really going to have to pull together as a community to support each other, to support our businesses, and to support our whānau, and to support our school, and to support our medical services as well.
And I guess it's going to be a situation like the word will go out, this part of town needs some support. Have we got some volunteers who are healthy?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So yeah. Keeping your Bibles tight, so then you can, if you're able to volunteer to, even if it's just kai deliveries, or maybe even if it's working with the medical centre. So, you know, all of those things.
I'm concerned about the medical centre because they have, I talked to them during the last outbreak, and they divided the staff into two bubbles. So if one person got sick, at least half their staff would still be available. But I could foresee, and I'm not an expert, but it seems possible that both their bubbles would get hit. And
that's where the community then can come in to support people who have to isolate at home. So it's putting in those mechanisms. How can people reach out? Who do they reach out to? And it could be, a member of your whānau who then has connections outside with your local marae, knowing who your trustees are, or if it's reaching out to the community house, if it's reaching out to myself or to Raglan naturally, because it was determined at our hui last week that the response planning crew would actually come under the umbrella of Raglan naturally, so we can have that coordination. So Gabriel Parson and I and Denise Reynolds are doing comms, but also they are being fed into from Raglan Medical, so we all have one source of knowledge and information, and so we're really trying to collaborate. And Glenda Domati was on our call on Tuesday.
She's from
Ngāi Mental Health,
yep.
And she said the experiences that they've had in their community of Ngāi Rua Wāhia over the last 7 days has been that really the knowledge and the support of the community is key moving forward, because there is a lag in the information from the testing to saying if they're positive or not. So we'll know when whānau members aren't well. So it's really important that our community know that if you've got whānau members, or you know that people are unwell and they've been tested and they're waiting for a result, whatever that might be, reach out for help, and we can help you to do that, you know, coordinate that support.
And it's also important to note that a lot of the government's made a facility where a lot of organisations that are deemed essential, their staff, they're a close contact, they can use rapid antigen tests. And if that tests negative, then they can come to work, and they have to test every day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a really brief overview of that, but that capacity is there if people haven't heard of that yet.
Yep.
Check that out on online.
Yeah, and there's information too with the Raglan Business Chamber as well, you know, that businesses can access online on our Facebook page and through our newsletters and things like that. And I know that the Chamber has been doing a lot of work, and we actually had a Business Chamber board meeting last night, and Lisa James from Orca has been working on what would it look like with our businesses when our staff are unwell.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's ideas around about sharing staff, you know, if they're well. You know, could staff members go to George's Bar, for example, if Orca's had to close and there are staff who are still well, you know, keeping them employed and supporting each other's business, which I just thought that's such a great idea, sharing that capacity. and you know, so Lisa's been part of those wider discussions outside of Whaingaroa and in the Waikato as well. So there's certainly lots going on to support both businesses and our community as a whole.
Yeah, and we will be available again to spread the word on various things.
Yeah.
Luckily, now that we've got a little bit of extra staffing capacity since just before the outbreak last year, we can be a little more responsive?
Well, you know, Raglan Radio has done such a great job, I have to say, Aaron. You know, with the comms win we had, you know, in October last year, the work that you were doing and Marky was doing was just great, and it was like one source of truth, you know, that you could go to, because people often, especially on that online, can become quite fearful, and a lot of misinformation gets posted.
And we could see that
out.
That was kind of starting to happen.
Yeah. And so we'll have information about where you'll be able to get tested. And we actually talked as well on Tuesday about training up local people for testing, so we have extra capacity, and Glenda was going to follow up on that for us. So hopefully we'll have some feedback on that on Tuesday at our next hui that we'll be having.
Yeah. So moving on, there was a community board meeting
on the 9th.
A week ago?
Yeah,
on the 9th. Yeah,
over a week ago, actually,
it
last
seems
Wednesday.
Like a lot has happened there, and it started up, because I was watching on Zoom, on YouTube, I missed the first couple of minutes, but as it started up on YouTube, there was, you guys were just announcing that Dennis had been voted as the... Dennis Amor is the deputy chair of the community board.
He is deputy chair, that's exactly right. He was the only nomination. And so it's great to have Dennis on board as the deputy chair. You know, we haven't got many hui left of the year. Elections will be upon us.
October elections.
That's exactly right. And of course, that's exciting that Dennis is the deputy chair, but also to welcome Kitty Binnersley onto the team, which is fantastic, you know, to have a new voice and a breath of fresh air from someone much younger than most of us that are on the board. You know, and Kitty is very passionate about mental health and well-being and youth development. So she's also very savvy with comms and, you know, using new platforms for
She's probably just normal for her age. But
exactly.
All you guys are like, oh, she's so smart with that stuff.
Yeah. You know, so we bow down to her abilities to work the internet and things like that. So we're really looking forward to working with Kitty. So that was exciting, swearing her in on last week.
And let's just tie in something from that meeting to the community response group, because you were talking about the need. Well, there was a discussion about putting aside some money from the community board fund to help the community response group
with the communications
and meet some needs in the community
if required. So we earmarked $1,000 and put that aside, whether we use it or not. You know, we may not do that, but so I think that's a really good use of the discretionary fund pūtea to help support our community response planning moving into the next coming weeks and the next months. So
there were stories of people in other communities who had to isolate and they don't have financial resources. They didn't even have a phone.
That's exactly
right. So
they're
at home without an ability to contact people.
That's exactly right. And that was what, again, I'll use Glenda, because she's, you know, working in Māori health and supporting our communities in, you know, Ngārua, Wahia and Huntly. So a lot of experience in seeing where the gaps are for our whānau and our community. And she said top-up cards where people can actually top up their phones while they're isolating so they can be contacted or they can make contact with others. Yeah. There are people who live in the rural areas who may not have any connection with the internet. So, you know, when we are easily online, you know, we've got Wi-Fi, we've got our mobiles. Exactly, I'm sitting here.
They're online.
Yeah, I've got my phone, my iPhone, I've got my iPad, and I've got my laptop, you know. So I know that my household is well supported, you know, with those sorts of needs. But that 5% that I mentioned before, they are really vulnerable. And, you know, they've got, you know, many people, you know, are lacking resources, top-up cards or whatever, but also, you know, you might be living in a whare with many people. And also you might be living in a whare with people who have challenges with addictions and things like that. So there's complexities in the support that our whānau will require. So I think it's really great that we are able to put aside a pūtea as a community board, even if it's just to work on our communications.
So we'll see. Oh, there's another thing too that I noticed a couple of days ago that the government announced, that basically a DIY contact tracing setup where we'll get a text saying, "Here's the app. Let everyone know that you've got COVID."
Yeah, well,
and that's I mean, I say it in a funny way. It's going to be, apparently it can take half an hour to do, and there'll be a lot of people challenged by that. I did ask Mike from the community house if they're going to try and provide some support for that, and I think they want to, but he didn't know
how
yet.
Well, that's something that we need to nut out, isn't it? You know,
yeah,
how
I know
we
a lot
can
of people
that.
just won't. But a lot of people will really want to as
yeah,
well, and,
yeah.
And well, they might not be able to.
Yeah, and there's that social responsibility too, eh?
Yeah.
Because we know that we are likely to get COVID, and so we want to be responsible to ensure that those people who we've been close to are notified that, you know, that we've tested positive, and how can we support them. So that's going to be really important moving forward as a community. And you know, again, it's through no fault of anyone's that you've got it if you do get it and you test positive. So, you know, it's okay. Reach out for help. There's no shame in this. And I just really want to make that clear to our community. It's okay. There's support out there. Reach out.
Yeah. And I think for most people it's going to be a fairly mild experience compared to what's happened overseas, but it's this thing of people isolating and services stopping that's probably going to be the biggest challenge for most of the community,
yeah.
I think.
And particularly if you live out in the country. You know, if you live out in the Wop-Wops, you know, getting food if you need it out to you, getting medication out to you because you can't, you're isolating. So how do we manage that? And, you know, so I think that's why it's so great to collaborate with our Marae committees because, you know, they know people who are out in the WOPs and who will, if they need support, who they are, where they are, and how we can put resources in to support them.
Okay. All right, moving on to other things. I see that the community feedback for what's happening at the Wharf has been announced that there was... some landscaping that walks down to the water, it was going to be in a certain position. And I can't really, I think it's closer to the wharf than the other option, but that's what people went for. It would take the chance to remind people again that this is, that the money is not coming from our rates.
It's not coming from rates.
I still see people going, oh, rates.
And,
so.
And we've been saying that for the last 2 years really, haven't we?
Yeah.
And it's, and we've actually... you know, with the team who've been involved in that, which predominantly has been the community board and council staff and the community, and particularly with the stakeholders down at the wharf itself as well, from the fishing club to the retailers, you know, the people that are down there. So it always surprises me when there is an outcry that it's new to people in our community. So really get involved. If you want to know about it,
this was the hard one to miss because was it Dennis organised those big panels in, around
the
town?
The big panels,
for
a phenomenal amount of hours of work from the likes of Dennis and the crew have been put into this project. And I think as a community, we should be really proud that we've accessed Pood Tier that's not rate funded for something that's quite exciting for our community. And also looking at the Whaingaroa Harbour study as well, looking at what the future of the connectivity for Whaingaroa will look like in the next 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. You know, so that in itself is a legacy piece for the generations to come of what connectivity will look like.
Connectivity in the harbour means boat ramps primarily, does it?
Boat ramps, it could be how we connect with Te Ako, how we connect, how we access for, you know, Wakaama or if it's kayaking. So there's a whole bigger picture and down to do we have little floating pontoons for people to jump off and swim over to, you know, in the interim. So I think it's really exciting. So watch this space. Also, we've got... the next phase of the Places for People, which, you know, should the parklets stay or should they be moved?
I think the government wanted feedback before we really were ready to give it, but people gave it. But
people
now we had it.
It
through summer. So have you been getting back?
We're going to be putting out the feedback forms, so we're just finalising that. And I, from personally, what I've seen from just looking, you know, because I've been regularly working at Trade Aid, and there's the parklet outside Wilden Trade Aid on Bow Street, that's been hugely popular.
Right.
and, you know, from families to individuals, you know, in these times where social distancing has been encouraged, it's just another opportunity for people to be outside in the summer sun, to safely social distance, but also to meet up with friends. And it's an extension of the services that exist, you know, like Ali's Kebabs, Kochi, the fish and chip shop, Wild, you know, for people to go to the bakery and get a pie and sit out on the parklets. So I personally, I think from what I've observed through my own two eyes, they've been really popular. And so it'll be interesting to see the feedback. And I really encourage people when there is available, you know, to participate. And that feedback would be really great.
There'd also been feedback given on the, what someone called it, a roundlet, the roundabout by the Harbourview Hotel and the parking. Like, the feedback was given on those sorts of things?
Well, they aren't really part of the places for people. The parklets were.
Yeah.
So the roundabout was part of the implementation from council, the roundabout. And so we're concentrating on the parklets. But I've had really great feedback around the roundabout because that, I think, has worked way more successfully than people anticipated, and so to have the pedestrian crossings, because people were fearful, particularly of the pedestrian crossing outside of Bow Street, that there would be a backup of traffic from Wainui Road turning left onto Bow Street.
Not outside Trade Aid.
Yeah, there would be a backup there, but that hasn't occurred. And I worked through the busy part of this summer, through Christmas and New Year, and I didn't see that, and the traffic was free-flowing. And there hasn't been, I don't believe, where people have expressed their fear that the parklets would, you know, be dangerous for young children, you know, and cars. And I haven't had any of that feedback. But, you know, I'm only one person. I'm not down there all the time. But when that comes out, I encourage everyone to participate.
Okay, moving on to something else. I noticed that in the council stuff that the targeted rate for the food waste issue is with us again.
It is. So that's going out to consultation at the beginning of March through to April.
I have one specific question about it, that a year ago when it was talked about, the idea was...
It's actually more than a year ago.
Oh,
There have been several stages.
So we're currently council staff sourced some funding to pay for it in the current year that we're in. And at that time, the talk was...
From our waste minimisation fund.
Yes, government fund. So the question I want to ask about is, they were hoping that the next year to not just go straight to a fully targeted rate that the ratepayer would pay, but to have a kind of half and half thing or a proportional thing. Has that not happened?
No.
So it's
actually going out with the full rate, and we're still tweaking that. But we've been working closely with Extreme Zero Waste, and also with the community board. Both Gabriel and I have been on that. So that will be coming out for consultation at the beginning of March. And, you know, Aaron, food waste curbside collection is going to become the norm, so it's not going to be an option. It will actually be part of every urban council provided service across the district, and actually throughout Aotearoa. So, you know, Hamilton has got it, and we've been really fortunate as a community that we've had it funded for the last 5 years.
When is it likely to roll out to the whole district?
That's a good question. Possibly next year. So it isn't anticipated in the annual plan, which we will... I've got a workshop this morning of the annual plan, you know, for 2022-2023. So we'll be looking at 2023-2024 out to the rest of our urban communities. So what will that look like?
Yeah, so the interesting thing is it's not going to be an option eventually, but this coming year, and the council financial year starts on the 1st of July, this coming financial year, it is going to be an option for Raglan ratepayers.
We're going out to consult with the ratepayers.
So they could say no.
could say no, but I hope we don't, because it is going to be inevitable. And so it's a fantastic service, you know, and you can use it for your meat waste, you know, your bones, if you've got, you know, during the busy holiday period. And, you know, if we're recycling, what we take diverting from our rubbish bags, we actually save in our blue bag costs as well. So there's a bigger picture to look at, better for the environment. So that will be coming out at the beginning of March.
Yeah, well, we'll talk to Extreme about that as well. Yeah. Talk to Liz again.
Yeah, and we've been working closely with Extreme, you know, on that service and what our consultation would look like. Yeah, so it's quite different from our last experience with the consultation.
Yeah, yeah. We remember that.
Yeah.
So...
And so yesterday we were we didn't deliberate, but we had the hearings for the speed limit bylaw review.
Yeah, there's been a lot of hearings, hasn't there, lately?
There have been, because we had our Easter trading, and then next week we've got the dog control bylaw.
So let's just say Easter trading, it was determined to stay the same where the shops decide for themselves.
We chose the status quo.
Yep.
So that decision goes back to full council for our council meeting to be determined and confirmed.
But that's, so folks, it's, a lot of these decisions are talked out at a subcommittee meeting.
At a subcommittee.
So go to the full council, but probably just a rubber stamp process usually. Council.
There was actually a fairly even split for...
Okay.
There was more support from our fellow councillors with the status quo, but there also was a number of councils who didn't support that. For various reasons, so that's why we debate, and we have that opportunity to listen to our community members. But what was interesting was that many businesses, unlike the first time we went out to consult about Sunday trading, you know, there were many, many businesses who contributed to say, yes, we want the ability to trade on Easter Sunday. And this time round, it wasn't so much of the businesses. And I don't think that's because I think it's because they support the status quo being open if you choose to on Easter Sunday.
So back to the speed bylaw.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so we had
just debated this week.
Well, we had our hearings. So that was yesterday. Oh. So
no decision?
No decision, because we're going back to deliberate in March, because next week we've got the dog control bylaw, which is massive. I think it's about 1,500 pages of the agenda there. So I've been reading through that, and I'll finish that off on the weekend because we start that next week. So we've got 4 days of hearings online. So we're doing that by Zoom, and then obviously we'll have our deliberations after that. So it'll just be all hearings next week. So,
How's it looking? Do you know now what the community feedback is on the changing the little bits of speed limits?
It's quite impassioned. So I still need to read through the whole agenda.
Probably the biggest, the most notable one is the bit just outside of when you're heading out of town past Monaco Road, turning that area from open road to about 60. Was that what?
Oh, you're talking about the speed limit bylaw. I thought you were talking about the dog control. Sorry.
Oh, right.
Yeah, no. Actually, there weren't many submissions from Raglan, to be honest. So it was, there were quite a few from in support of lowering the speed limit on the Rerea Kiriopa Memorial Drive, just as you, before you come to the Kōkiri. Because there, obviously, there's loads of people using the beach, so there were a number of submissions for that. A number of submissions supporting the lowering of the speed limit for the part of the road where the revocation has happened from State Highway 23, which actually starts from around where Simon Te Whero's studio is on State Highway 23. Back into Raglan, so lowering that to the 60k, so that's been really great. So you know, Raglan's already gone through the speed limit. We're in the urban area, it's 40k's, and then of course across the district, looking at our school zones to be 40k's in the urban areas, would that be permanently during the school hours? And then obviously at our rural schools to drop the speed limit to 40 Ks. Looking at, would that be throughout the school day to allow, school activities coming and going? And some people have said just for the time, the busy times before and after schools for the drop-off and pick-up. So we had quite a lot of feedback on those. And, of course, you know, in other areas, Hakarimata Road, to be the speed to be reduced from 100 to 80 k's. So it's looking across the district. So not only considering things for Raglan, for Whangaroa, but also for our other communities.
So at the community board meeting, I think there was a brief mention of the representation review. The issue of the community board being split into urban and rural seats, I think the community board had submitted to the local government commission that we didn't know enough about how this was going to work. It came in at the last minute.
Yeah, and so the commissioners, you know, their deliberations, that's with the commission. So we have right now waiting for that, for them to determine what their decision will be and what the community board area will be, and I believe that Chris Rayner did a really good submission on behalf of the community board and the position of including Timata and Te Uku into the Raglan community board area as well. So that is being determined by the commissioners, so I don't know
We hope that they get back soon, because there's an election later in the year and everybody's got to get ready.
I imagine
they've got the whole entire country to look at, haven't they, for those sorts of issues? Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe a lot.
But, you know, interestingly, there have been some really great online kōrero over the last 3 weeks, actually, Aaron, for that have been... it's an organisation from the Waikato where Kawena Jones looking at how to... encourage Māori to stand for local body elections, particularly for the Waikato district.
Because he himself stood for the Newcastle ward last time.
That's exactly right.
And now probably doesn't exist anymore.
So he's got an organisation that's looking at promoting Māori participation in local government and standing. So we've had some really great speakers, from Vanita Bingham, who's on the Te Maruata board. She's the chair, which is the rōpū that represents the elected Māori members in local government across Aotearoa. We had Baden Barber, who's a representative in Hastings, Linda Te Aho from Waikato Tainui, because Waikato Tainui are really getting behind supporting Māori to stand in the up and coming elections, obviously, because we'll have two Māori seats, and how we go about really encouraging Māori to stand, and, you know, Pacifica as well, to stand for the Waikato District Council elections, but also, at Waipa and across the Motu. So that's been really interesting. And you can actually go onto the Waikato Tainui website and have a look at the recorded presentations that have been done.
So you have to be somewhere at 9, don't you?
I do have to be somewhere at 9.
Shall we wrap up now?
Yep.
Okay.
Have a great weekend, everyone. And thanks, Aaron. And be safe. And if you do need support and you know people who are unwell, you've got a whole community here, prepared to support you or your whānau or people that you know. So don't be shy to reach out for support.
All right. Thanks, Lisa. Thanks for coming down.
Kia ora.